All right. Stop me if you've heard this one. There are three types of people in the world. There are those who are bad at math, those who are good at math.
Dr. D on the mic, soup stirring up hot takes. This ain't casual anymore. We're live on a rhyme sheet. Let's go.
All right. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, inventor of soup, reaching out through the supervision free source of Infinity Interfacing. I'm joining you guys today with my two best friends.
Yes.
We have Jonah and Keith from the New England Super Duper Meta.
Hello.
It's good to be here again.
Yeah, it's great to be here and finally join you guys. I know it's been talked about.
It's an exclusive list. It's very hard.
Yeah. All right. So today on Arachne, we're going to be talking about Nova and the Infinity events that were going on there. But before that, Arachne is a part of the Professional Casual Network. If you would like to support the network, please sign up for our Patreon or purchase some hot swag at streamlabs.com/professionalcasualnetwork1. I personally am not sponsored by Monument Hobbies, but Arachne is. They are the paints that I use the most, and I'm slowly turning my entire collection into these products. Use code PROFESSIONALCASUAL at checkout to get the swanky discount and directly help us at Arachne.
Also the paints I eat the most.
Yeah, that's the paints we make Dr. D eat the most. It's the most enjoyable for me to watch. Baron of Dice makes some of the coolest dice in the biz. I personally use their dice in all of the games that I play currently. Yeah. And I will say I love my Baron of Dice. If you guys use code Arachne at checkout, you get a 5% discount. And tell them I sent you. Personally me. Inventor of Soup. Love those guys.
I also heard a rumor that he blesses your dice if you show up at a convention. So
he does.
He gives a little kiss, actually. It's like very, it's very sweet.
And it does roll better. Guaranteed.
Yeah, I did have the pleasure of meeting both the Baron and what did he call himself? The peon of dice? Yeah, great guys. Very supportive of what we're doing at Infinity. So it's great.
Yeah, they're super involved. They're super nice. And I think they make some of the best dice. And we cannot forget about our sponsor, Mr. Laser. Mr.-laser.square.site. So let's get right into the meat of it. Jonah, Keith, and myself went down to Nova for the Nova weekend, I think at this point, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was Labor Day weekend, Nova Open.
Yeah, over in DC proper. That was the first time I've been to that event. I believe the same for both of you as well.
Yeah, my first real gaming convention too, which was exciting. Other than like Everwinter in Boston, but like this is the first one that's over 1,000 people that I've been to.
Yeah, that like we've like traveled for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So overall, if you were to give it a 1 to 10, 10 being good, what would you rate it?
11.
11.
Oh wow, big praise. Yeah, I would put it way up there. Probably like can you complain about at least 3 days of Infinity over a weekend? Just had so much fun with it. And the food in DC was phenomenal. So I'd probably push it up there to like at least 9. But I haven't been to all the conventions in the world, so I can't really know.
Mm, you're leaving room for improvement.
Yeah.
All I know is you said 10 was just good, and I knew it's better than good.
That's fair. I didn't understand the scale.
I thought it was great. People were saying that it gives you that experience of a big con with all the events going on, but not the overload of people where you have to like Gen Con, you have to like sign up for a slot to play a demo.
Yeah.
You don't really experience that at Nova. You're able to go up, you're able to talk to the people that are pitching their game, like Trench Crusade, the people were there, Cyberpunk, you had them there and you're able to talk to them, really get to know them and understand the game from their eyes.
Yeah, I never felt like pushed out by like the volume of bodies or anything, like for sure. And then being here on the East Coast, like just being like a quick skip down the coast as opposed to trying to get all the way to like Milwaukee or something, I think was very, very achievable for like a first leap into like the big gaming events.
Yeah, you guys
for sure.
You guys thinking about going next year?
I am going back and forth. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, I haven't been to all the conventions in the world, and this Krug thing that's cropped up has become kind of a big deal. So I'll probably go to one or the other, but we'll have to wait and see.
The Mile High Krug.
Mile High Krug. Yeah, actually, you should trademark that before they can get to it, I think.
Yeah, I already got a website going.
Yeah. I would definitely go back. DC, again, easy sure. place to get to. As yours, I don't think I've eaten like that well over the course of 5 days in like my entire life. Like awesome restaurants in the area. But I have to give like such immense credit to the Infinity community down there. So Ed Smulligan is like the main war core behind Nova. But it's so interesting because there's like so much support across like the mid-Atlantic. Like there were guys from Baltimore, guys from Richmond, and it was clear that they were all like these little like microcosms of like groups that like have their own events and play together, and they had all these sweet jerseys and all this kind of stuff. Like I was very, very impressed because I think our community up here in New England is like awesome. It's the super duper meta. But what I find so interesting is like we are like very collective just because we're not huge, right? So when we have an event, it's everybody from Maine, it's everybody from New Hampshire, it's everybody from Massachusetts. To be somewhere like this and see that like people had all these little scenes from all over, right? That they had like a self-sustaining, you know, group over here, self-sustaining group over there. And just seeing like them come together for like this big like 60 person event, I thought it was really sweet. So everyone was super supportive. They were super welcoming of us. I'm running my biggest event this year, which I'll talk about later. Ed was great about letting me kind of pick his brain, and I'm going to steal a lot from what those guys are doing. I think they're doing a lot, right?
Yeah, it was impressive. Like they made I love our community, and I don't mean this in a diss in any way. We felt like the farm team coming in to play with the big leagues. But it was great. It was a ton of fun. Their community is awesome.
Yeah, their community has been there for a long time. So it makes sense that we're the farm league. So it started out with, I think there was 4 Infinity events that happened over the course of the weekend.
Right. Yep.
You guys participated in 2 events. I participated in 1, and then the Friday event where you were being coached by someone, I believe none of us were able to make it to that.
Yeah, there were 2 that none of us did. Yeah, that was Dojo, which there was an instructive element to. And then there was a Friday narrative as well that I looked at briefly through the doorway, but didn't get to participate in.
I signed up and I chickened out just between travel and eating jumbo slices of pizza. I couldn't make it happen.
What was the first event you guys played in?
You want to take this one, Keith?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. So the first one was a 1-day ITS champions and challengers. So it was split. So you had the opportunity to kind of self-select yourself into an upper tier, which was kind of designed for folks that had previously won events or had a certain level of ELO, and then the lower tier of challengers. That was a little bit more casual, or those of us that have been a little lower on the totem pole this season. I mean, we actually had the opportunity. Jonah competed in the upper, and I competed in the lower to kind of spread it out a little bit. And yeah, Jonah, how'd it go for you?
Yeah, it went great. I chose the Champions League because I wanted to see the terrible ways that they could hurt me for the most part. And I was lucky enough this season to be playing Kestrel. So playing Kestrel, I had some advantages this season and was able to actually win one of our local tournaments, which technically qualified me for it. And I've been performing pretty well with them. So I gave it a shot. Yeah, a bunch of good people up there. I was a little nervous that it was going to be super sweaty, but it ended up being every game I had, everyone was super friendly, taking their time, talking through things, and we had three great games. And yeah, I got brutalized with a trifecta hidden deploy Shakush. Not the Shakush, the whatever it is. It was a Hassassin's trifecta hidden deploy reveal against my whole core team with double Flamen Spheres and AP Marksman.
Oh, the Shuje and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, the Shuje and one of the other ones. And that pinned out my first game in the Champions League pretty hard. But then I was able to rally. And by the end of it, I got the privilege of playing against the man himself, Cobra Prime. Which was a lot of fun. It was a very friendly game, lots of jokes, and a lot of baiting, trying to get Pano to get into a fist fight with Shinden Butai, which I did not fall for.
No matter how charming he was, it wasn't going to happen.
Not this time.
Yes, but a Rishi MSV1 with mind dispenser was the bane of my existence. I killed it at least three times, maybe four, and a Monstrucker kept getting it back up with a gizmo kit, and I think that lost me the game. Among other things, but that was notable.
Nice. Now, what about you, Keith?
Yeah, absolutely. So I ended up in the challengers in the lead up to the event. Like I certainly qualified for the upper bracket and thought that's what I would do. And then, man, my preparation for this event for the Nova weekend was A, minimal, and B, abysmal. I was trying really hard. I was like, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to bring vanilla. I'm just going to like slam Achilles all week. And then in every practice game, it was just unwinding for me. I had very, very little success. So I made the late decision to go to Morat's. Just got my bread and butter. I hadn't actually played Morat's in months, so I was a complete weenie and was like, put me in the challengers, which ended up being the right decision because I did not pub stomp or anything. I played lovely people all day. I first round played against a guy who I think I'd only been playing like a year, and he was playing vanilla combined, and we played on the literally the worst table I think I've ever played in my life. If you see the pictures for that first day, it was this beautiful, it was the Warsenal JSA set that they have on like this frost mat with like these, you know, really cool, I think it was the Monster Fight Club like ice scene elements, which are like awesome. There was so little cover, and I just couldn't get past this overdrawn sniper that was in the corner like the entire time. Ended up being a really chill time. The guy was super nice, kind of talked through the strategy a lot. He ended up just eking by me in mission one. Mission two, played against like a really nice guy who I think only plays like Infinity like a couple times a year, primarily plays War Machine, was able to kind of bounce back really strong and ended up 1-1. And then game three, played another guy who was playing Torchlight Brigade, and we had a riotous time. We were like laughing nonstop. I was getting brutalized by this guy. His wrecker was destroying me. Jamie Arantis came into my DZ and like shot like every unit I had but two with like smoking hot plasma. Just ran all the way through my Morat core, you know, shot through, you know, my Yaogat, my Kaitok, all that kind of stuff. But ended up kind of pulling it out at the end with just kind of like a hero Rindak doing a bunch of classifieds at the very end, and ended up pulling out into a tie. So on the day I went 1-1-1, I had a tremendously average showing in the challengers bracket, but had three really fun games with three really good dudes, and felt pretty warmed up for the satellite that was going to come that weekend.
Now, doing the ITS event, did you feel more comfortable for your two-day big event on Saturday and Sunday?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I felt pretty good about it as well. This was kind of my last outing for Kestrel for quite a while. I'm going back to my baby Yujing and doing a bunch of experimentation since I haven't had a chance to play him since N5. So I wanted to try a bunch of different things. So my list for the Thursday Champions event was very different from my lists for the 2 day, but I've been playing these guys for almost a year, and I knew how to move the pieces around. So,
all right. So then we'll hold off my event for the very end, because that's the cherry on top.
I know we're talking Infinity, Mike. I want to take a quick detour, because while we were playing this on Thursday, I do want to call out, unless you're doing another episode on the other thing.
We'll probably do another episode on that thing.
All right. So I will tease the fact that Mike had a very, very successful Thursday, and you should tune into a future episode to hear all about that.
I'm on the Monster Fight Club website.
He sure is. Like,
I heard he won Best Painted and had to refuse.
I did.
And that's that Monument Hobbies paint is what got him there, just so everybody knows.
Yeah.
Ain't that right, brother? Yeah. But we'll leave that as a teaser for a future episode that I'll be doing with Dr. D, most likely. And then we're going to go to day two, which was Friday, in which case none of us participated in the dojo event. But did you guys talk to anyone that went to it and how it went for them?
Dojo did not come up in any of my conversations with anybody.
No?
Fair. No, same.
It was an interesting concept when you guys were explaining it to me.
Yeah, I mostly just know like what it listed on tabletop events. And yeah, it sounds like it's supposed to be instructional. So they had three levels, and it looks like they sold most, if not all, of their tickets. So people definitely do this. So there was like a beginner, an intermediate, and an advanced. And it seemed like, yeah, in the beginner, you would be like given a list and like coached live. but it seemed like as you move to the advanced, like it seemed like it was a little less prescriptive. But there are some like devilishly good players in that area, so I'm sure it was like very, very valuable if you wanted to spend a deep part of your evening kind of sharpening your Infinity craft. It looks like the ticket sold, so I'm sure it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess next time I go, I probably want to check that one out, just see how it is in person, because it's a cool concept. I kind of really want to see it in practice. So then that will bring us over to the two-day event for you guys, in which case you guys were in the same bracket of player, because it wasn't separated by champion or challenger.
No, it was a 60-person satellite, Nova Battle for the Beltway.
Yeah, biggest by far I've been to. Almost double the Everrunner, yeah.
Yeah, I think our biggest was 32, so 60 was no small thing.
How many rounds was it?
5 rounds. 3 on Saturday, 2 on Sunday.
Nice.
Yeah. What was the mission lineup again? God, I can't even remember the first mission. It's been so long. It was first was Frostbite.
Yes.
Then Frontline and Cutthroat were day 1. So kind of each day started with the heavier missions. We had Frostbite on day 1 to start and Mind Wipe on day 2. Mm. And then otherwise, the mission lineup was kind of go kill stuff, which was kind of a relief.
Yeah, everything Mind Wipe is a kill mission, I would go so far as to say.
That's fair, yeah. Because we had superiority at the end of it, too, which was a whole thing.
Yeah, it's like supremacy, but even more brain dead. It was Frostbite, Frontline, Cutthroat. And then, yeah, Sunday was Mind Wipe, superiority.
So that's like a nice lineup, especially at the end with superiority. You get a little bit less thinking after playing 5 competitive games.
Yeah, yeah. I think there are some that would say that's critical, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think one thing, too, and this was a departure for us, was 2-hour rounds down there, which I think is very normal for like a lot of the world. Mm-hmm. We play with 2.5 hours up here in New England. So definitely was like, oh, man, I think this is going to be, you know, pretty tight. We got to make sure we're playing pretty fast. But actually didn't end up having any time pressure or problems. Felt like I finished like 15, 20 minutes each time.
Are you saying that we're going to tighten up our time?
No.
For rounds?
I'm not. No, definitely not. Like, you heard it here first. We're staying at 2.5 hours. Jonah, how'd you do on time over the weekend?
I did well, yeah. Like you, I, for the most part, was able to keep pace. I think the only one that went over was my last game on Thursday with Cobra Prime. And it went over by like 5 minutes. And it was kind of a foregone conclusion at that point. So I just spent orders as fast as I could. Like I did spent like 10 orders in 5 minutes.
yeah, it was true. I was observing. I was like, move, move. And he's like, no arrow, move, move.
yeah.
All right, so we're not going to shorten our time down to 2 hours and 29 minutes.
I can't promise that it won't be like 2:25 or something. And also, 45-minute lunch, too. I think actually on Sunday, Jonah and I ended up having to kind of haul ass back. We
didn't. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I had to end up texting you.
Yeah, you were texting me like, they're starting. And I was like, we haven't got the bill yet. Run.
Yeah, and they also, like, it's 60, you're trying to wrangle 60 people, so you never really start on time. And then that's eating into lunchtime. And so we just got caught with our pants down on Sunday.
Yeah. And a lot of those guys have like a military background, I think, so they're used to the reporting at 0600 ready.
Yeah.
We're a more civilian crew up in the Northeast, I think.
For now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. We're going to have our own boot camp. You guys are going to be speaking in military time only.
I'm too old.
Yeah. It'll be great.
They don't want me.
I don't
want
to change.
Okay, let's actually get into the event, though. So, Jonah, let's start with you. How did Saturday... I guess how'd the whole event go for you?
Yeah. I did not have a bad game, despite my last opponent having to pause for a second and say, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't offend you with whatever. And I was just thinking about, because also at the end of this event, I was running to catch a train. I couldn't stay for the prize ceremony, but I was sitting there trying to play the game and trying to keep an eye on the clock and trying to think about getting an Uber. But that's besides the point. The whole thing went great. I had a blast with everyone I played. I got to play against people that I had been talking throughout the weekend. In fact, my first game for Frostbite was against Shrilgen. I think he's from out west. I think he's in either the Arizona or Colorado area. And he traveled all the way to DC to play his Steel Phalanx. And he was talking him up on Thursday. and we played on a pretty open table, a mag train table. It was fine if you didn't get on top of a building, but once you got on top of a building, you could kind of see the whole thing. And this tournament for me was also the tournament I brought my Maximus list. And boy, howdy, Maximus is a bully. I used a black arrow to keep everyone from being able to press him. And then when it came to me, I just ran him straight into people's DZs and started punching stuff. And it became a huge problem. Yeah, so that's kind of how the Steel Phalanx game went. Maximus, actually the opposite for the Steel Phalanx game. Maximus got pinned down 3 times isolated immobilized with a hack, which was a bit of a bummer. I had to spend 1 whole turn reviving him, but once I got him back up, I was able to cruise him, and then he got bricked again at the end of the game. But that one ended up going real well. Ended up winning that one. I can't remember the score specifically. Let's see. It was 7-4. And I had to deal with going up against Agamemnon and Eudoros and all the classics and Steel Phalanx these days. Game 2 was actually against the Belgian assassin himself, Bruno, who I've not gotten to play. Which was a real treat. He has come to our ever winter events, and I got to play Blood on the Clock Tower with him, and he was having a blast with that. That was very funny. We all did. We all got to play with him.
Yeah, we all got to.
You know? But he was playing Vanilla Yujing, and I decided with such the success I had with the Maximus in round one, I was like, oh yeah, okay, I'll try my other list. I'll bring out the Red Eye. I just spent 15 plus hours painting him. He looks great. I had a game with him before the tournament where I did really well with it and was able to really punish some things. And Vanilla Yujing's got a lot of camo and things on roofs. Maybe this will work. And the table looked like it could handle an S7 that couldn't duck and fly around. And Bruno showed me why I was wrong. I went first. Everything was in camo except for Sun Z, and I just tried my best to hurt something. My Griffin Feuerbach failed to discover a Longya. I had to bait it out with a Red Eye with its +3 dodge, and ended up wasting a lot of time with dealing with other camos, trying to deal with potentially mines. I thought he had 2 Gadans. I completely forgot Vanilla Yujing had a Liberto. I tried to EM grenade launch his Sun Tzu with Emily Handelman with a Specfire. I landed the shot. He passed his dodge, which was all, you know, I just got nothing done. And then he proceeded to take what I thought was a Gudan, ended up being a Liberto, shoving it down my throat. killed so many things. Just cleaned up my entire core team of Fennec, my Griffin, so on and so forth. And it got targeted. So I was shooting on +3s when I was shooting at Slash Targons on +6s. So it's basically an even fight all the way down. He was outside of cover. It was a mess. I just couldn't kill the thing. Turn passes to me. I kill the Liberto, try to set up the Red Eye for a run, have to go to the other side of the table because his Yanhui HRMC is just sitting there. My Red Eye's not going to do anything against it. And by the time I get there and start doing some damage, I run out of orders, retreat a little bit. Pass it to him again. And then he takes his Beast Hunter, which I also forgot about, and charges it right into my Lieutenant with his +1 burst explosive CC and blows a tail, and then he spends the rest of his turn picking apart my pieces. And then at the end of the game, I basically, on my last turn, in a desperate move in front line, was to bring out Lei Gong on the far end of the table and hope he wouldn't think to move something into the far zone. But he had a Yanbo right there, and it just totally invalidated anything I could do. Total mess of a game. It was a great time, and I just got punked. Oh, that was detailed. That was one I remember very specifically.
That's your last game of day 3?
Oh, that was my second game. Last game of day 3 was against a very nice man whose ITS name was Ravioli. And this was on the hedge, not the hedge, the maze table.
He has like a Stonehenge maze.
Yeah. That table was a lot of fun to play on, actually. We played the walls infinitely tall, so it was just a bunch of tunnels and open rooms. And he was playing Vanilla O12. You played him as well, Keith, right?
Yeah, he was my round 2 opponent on the front line.
Yeah, he brought his Zeta list. He had Hippolyta and all the fun pieces. He had a Nimrod as well, or a Psycop. I can't remember if it was one of those two. Moonraker is the classics, and I just took Maximus and charged him into the DZ. I cleaned up a couple of Moonrakers on the way, got into the back line, and the way the DZs were arranged in that space was I was basically just able to weave around the hallways. But at one point, Maximus was dealing with four arrows. He was dealing with the Nimrod. He was dealing with a Monstrucker, a Missile Bot, and Hippolyta all at the same time. And he was just working his way through. He got rid of the Nimrod and then immediately went to Hippolyta because she was the real threat that could keep him from doing damage. And I didn't want her dodging away into other more dangerous arrows. And we spent half of my turn just punching the shit out of each other. Eventually, Maximus won just because immunity arm is insane. And then I basically had to stall out on that turn with facing a Missile Bot and a Monstrucker. And he spent his whole turn trying to deal with that. But by the end of it, Maximus ended up dying after killing most things. Ended up being really close. It came down to a showdown between his Zeta and me setting up a fast panda network with my remaining Fennec hacker, trying to block its path from running forward to kill more things, and my black air just staring down the line, its cross path to move forward. He spent his last four or so orders just blasting at my black air neuro sniper. I won most of the rolls. I looked at the math later. I shouldn't have. And if I had lost that black air, he would have won the game. So I should have just hid my black air. I was an idiot. But it was a great game. He was a great guy. Yeah, and that was end of day one. I ended up 2-1, feeling pretty good about everything. And then we went into day two. My first game was against a White Banner player, which I know very well, and he's near and dear to my heart. He was playing a Haite, Dokubi, Huarang, and Jijak core, and had a lot of the other things you would expect to see in White Banner. Not a lot of... He had a Daofei Lieutenant, and all that stuff. And I, again, played my Maximus list because it was 2-for-2. And I figured, I think I can just ride this thing all the way through and it's super fun to play. So he goes first. I set up the black air. It holds down the line. And then I had, also in the Maximus list I didn't mention, I have a drum bot. And it was really able to do some work in this game on this table. I was able to just dance it around my DZ, picking off things on the long 45-degree angle sight lines. Killed his Haite and ARO, and then Maximus went to town and again, ran all the way to the DZ and started punching stuff. And this was the mind wipe. So I waited to get Maximus until round two up there, just because you can't hurt the servers in round one. But by round two, he went down, he started punching stuff. And then he ended up getting stuck out and couldn't get another one. So I ran a Yamabushi up there and he punched out the other one. So it ended up being a really good game. It's just the drum bot and Maximus proved to be a little insurmountable. And again, he was another opponent who did a lot of force reconstitution. We played with the tactical support options for the mission, and he got a medikit that he put on his Dokubi, and that thing kept bringing things back to life, which was super annoying, but we made it through. I made that mistake once with Maximus, and then I realized he didn't have Remprez and he went into escape system. We only make that mistake once. I ended up winning, so it was 3-1 going into the final game, and it was against Robo Warrior 525, who had been performing well all weekend. It might be 5-2-S. No, it's 5-2-5. And he was playing Corregidor, who I've not really played against a whole bunch. And he was a good player, obviously. And I've always had like a soft spot for Corregidor. I think they're the coolest Nomad sectorial. They're pretty grungy. They've got the Diablos, they've got the Lobos, they've got the Gator, which is super rugged. They get Jazz and Billy. And the one thing that I did not respect in this game, or I didn't have a real answer to, I rarely ever play against them, was Morans. He had two Morans on the ruse on a pretty open rooftop table. And I just couldn't break the line. Especially running Maximus. Sure, he's immune to possession, but he'd been bricked so many times over the weekend that I was like, I just need to see what I can do here. And I went first in superiority because he won I won initiative and I took deployment, trying to bait him into just going first, but he made me go first. I had a hard time breaking anything. I killed a Jaguar with Panzerfaust. I killed a TR bot, but wasn't really able to gain ground and didn't want to push with those repeater guys just sitting on rooftops with MIM-3. I just didn't have something that could get up there. And then he slow crawled. Oh, no, he did go first. So that was me. So he went first because he slow crawled his Moran all the way back to my DZ line, targeted my lieutenant, and then missiled my lieutenant, who successfully reset, but my drummer was too close to it and immediately annihilated the drum bot. And from that point on, I just couldn't really recover. Yeah, I was able to pick off a couple things, but I had to spend most of my first turn trying to kill the Moran that was literally 3 inches away from my DZ line on a rooftop. I kept climbing up and trying to get a shot off. It would dodge successfully. I ended up having to like try to crawl a Fennec up to try to shoot a long line at it. Still didn't work. I sacrificed a Jackal to it eventually and finally got it. But it was a mess. And then it ended up becoming a fist fight between Maximus and his Gator on the far side. I kept emitting or EM carbining his Gator, bricking it, and then trying to shoot it with a Thunderbolt. And then I would run out of orders and hide. He would run an engineer up and free it. And we'd do the whole thing all over again. He would shoot out cyber mines. Max would dodge the mines, eat the shots because his immunity arm again is insane. And we just did that all game until the very near end. And then I, out of spite, revealed the Yamabushi and got a long line shot that was able to score me some points and get an extra kill. But that one ended up 8-4, his win. He was very generous in his play, and he was a great opponent. He was a lot of fun to play with. But that ended up being 3-2, all said and done. I honestly, results better than I could have hoped for. So
nice.
Yeah.
And nice little boxing match at the end between the games. Yeah.
Maximus loves a tag fight. He'll take any of those on. Yeah. Oh, hey. Yeah, bring it.
All right, so that was very detailed. I think that was great. Now we're going to look down to...
Yeah, Keith. Looking down is right. with how that weekend went. Yeah, so I was bringing more ats. I was kind of trying to crutch a little bit because, as we talked about, I wasn't really super prepared or practiced. So the theme of every round but Mindwipe was my double Sogrot list. So it was Sogrot APHMG, Sogrot Fearbuck, and then just some good stuff, right? There was a Rodok team, Spitfire, and a Hacker. There was a Dartok and a Kytox together to like lay it down with some Flamen Spheres and shoot pitchers and such. And then a Rindak multi-rifle solo operator. So these are things I've been using constantly, sprinkle in some warbands, sprinkle in some remotes. And really, I was counting on just like the sheer beef to get the sheer firepower and just kind of knowing this army pretty well to get through. So round one, Frostbite, I get matched up against Sir Nicholas. My understanding is Sir Nicholas does pretty well in this area. He had won the champions bracket on Thursday. He might have just like won this event outright in the past. I'm not really sure, but I know he's got a reputation of being strong. So he was playing Vanilla Yuching. I chose deployment, took a high side, put my Sogrot up, Fearbok up, and I was like, great, you know, let's see what he's got for this. It's a bunch of camel markers and a long wang, basically, and a single monk. The monk walks up, throws some smoke, and then I learned that there are units that exist that have MSV1 and triangulated fire. So basically what happened to me this game is Major Luna gets revealed and then just starts tri-firing my Sogrot through smoke. And this is like the worst thing that's ever happened to me in Infinity. I realized that with tri-fire, my BS attack -3 was worthless. I realized that because of the smoke and the range, I would have been shooting back on -12s. So all I could do was dodge until I died. That was pretty much what, and that's what I ended up doing. It took us all turn one. It took a few orders, but that was done. And he started poking his like long wang around. I take my turn. I'm not able to quite challenge a lot of his stuff. I think I take some pot shots at like a random camo, and then just turn two, you know, he just kind of leans in again, right? He sends his tag in, takes 5 or 6 orders, kills my Sogrot. Comes across, kills my Rindak, who is like just able to get a console. So long story short, it's just like a war of attrition for me. I'm getting whittled down, and it ends up being like 9-1 or 10-1. Super skilled guy, knows his army really well. The dice were doing what he needed them to do. They're not the reason I lost, but they certainly helped. He was a pleasure to play with. Super nice guy, just destroying me and wearing a Care Bear sweater the entire time to really put me in my place. We have lunch round two. I get matched up against Ravioli, who Jonah talked about, and I think it was the same list. It was the same Zeta Nimrod HD sniper, I think is what that is. Couple Moonrakers. We're on front line. I'm going first. I decide to get really frisky. I pretty much like send my Sogarots like nearly to his deployment zone because I see an opportunity to shoot at his Zeta with Fearbok. And I managed to put like 2 or 3 wounds into it, but run out of orders. And then my undoing. I don't play O12 a lot. They're really sticky, right? Because all this stuff has Remprez. They've got like a couple like really cheap engineers. So despite me like knocking down like his TR bot and his Zeta and like something else, he's able to get them all back in like just a couple orders. And then he sends Hippolyta into my Sogarots, which doesn't go super well for them. One's able to wound her with Pulsar on her way in, gets destroyed. Goes in another one, destroys them. So I'm in Lost Lieutenant, which doesn't matter a great deal. And I'm just not able to like claw back like super well, right? I'm able to like do some trades with the Dadarazzi, go get a Moonraker, go score a classified with my Rindak. But, you know, he's getting stuff back. He's getting repeaters out. And ultimately, when you have a 80-something point tag and you're playing frontline, you just get to pick where which zone you win at the end. So that ended up being a little bit closer. That ended up being like a, I don't know, 7-3, 7-4, might have been something to that effect. So at this point, I'm 0-2. And then it's Cutthroat. And Cutthroat is against the same vanilla combined army player I played on Thursday, Lil Cobby, in round one. Excited for the rematch. Super, super nice guy. I know he's like running Achilles for the weekend. So Cutthroat, I'm going first. And I see he deploys Teucer, Achilles, and Norkius. And I'm like, okay, I see my opportunity. I know how I'm playing this. So I, in what I think is the greatest alpha strike of my life, I'm able to move up my Kytok and Dartok team. I'm able to use a Sogarot Disco Ball to get past Teucer without even having to engage him. I shoot a pitcher at Norkius, and I Trinity him out in like 2 orders. And that was his special boy, his key ops for Cutthroat. So he needed Norkius alive to score some points. I'm like, great, I'm already ahead. Other side, I've got a Rindak multi-rifle forward deployed. I send him after Achilles, who is watching the back line looking for a Rossiat. I think this was a mistake on his part, so I try to punish him. I actually managed to uncon Achilles with a Rindak. So those are the only 2 units I was able to down, but I was like, now I'm cooking, right? Those are his 2 power pieces. I'm sitting well, all my stuff's in my DZ. Turns out Teucer is actually Patroclus. Patroclus gets Achilles back. Achilles comes and executes my Rindak, and then I don't remember a lot of the fine details, but I'm able to uncon Achilles again. He gets Achilles back an additional time and is running around. I'm eventually able to, on my turn, I actually run a Rodok hacker over to him too, and I manage to isolate Achilles and like take him kind of out of the situation. And he comes back to his turn. He fails the whip roll. The dude manages to like super jump a base op engineer. It had to be like 40 inches or something. He was able to like super jump, cautious move, super jump, and get Achilles back. And long story short, he just then takes an Achilles with 1 wound left. He had 1 wound, and I just needed to put something into him. Runs him straight through my deployment zone, past Gakis, through Ikadrons. Sogarot Fearbok is shooting at him for like 3 or 4 orders. The Sogarot HMG is shooting at him. I'm not able to put a wound into him, and he ends up like just wiping my entire DZ. And I end up in not very good shape. So end of day one, I am 0-3. My Sogarots have died all 6 times they've hit the table. And I'm not, they do a good job here with the, you know, they make the wooden spoon like really something to be celebrated. You actually get a fully painted army if you get it.
Ooh.
But I'm doing still slightly too well to be in contention for a fully painted army because I managed to scrape some points fine in round 2 and 3.
I didn't realize that. I remember you mentioning Teucer. I missed the detail that he was actually Patroclus the whole time.
Yeah, if I just squared up to him, I would have toasted him. Walked by. So yeah, it was super fun. It was like we were yelling. Like it was a tremendously rowdy round at the end of the day. Like it was a really good time. So there was a smile on my face at the end of it, but definitely would have liked to be a little bit in a little bit stronger position at the end of Saturday.
How'd you feel going into day two?
Yeah, so day two, you know, is what it is. Had a ton of fun. Stopped in on the Saturday event, which we'll talk about. So, like, the vibes were good.
Yeah.
I was having a lot of fun. I would have liked to be doing better. I think all said, like, the whole week up until then, that means I was, like, 1-3-1. My big boy Sogrots had died, like, every time they hit the table, but one on Thursday. But I was just hoping to, like, have, you know, a decent game Sunday morning and, like, demonstrate that I still know how to play at all. So round four is Mind Wipe. I am up against Max the Crocodile, who is playing ISS. We were playing on, like, a very, very thematic, like, pano table. That awesome paint job on, like, I think it was the Warsenal Capsulo precinct terrain, ruined cathedral, very moody in how it was all painted and stuff. I thought it was really cool. Played really well, too. It's, like, one of those ones that, like, you look at it from above and it looks a little confusing because there's, like, ruined walls and you treat those as infinite. But it had, like, a nice little handout as to how you play it, and you start playing it, and it played really well. So if that person is out there, I really liked your table. He's playing a ISS list that's only, like, 6 or 7 visible orders, and he deployed 4 or 5 Sunzays, and I'm like, all right, I don't quite know what to do with this front, but I'm happy to you know give it a go. This is the only time I swapped lists for the satellite. This one was a little bit more purpose built for Mind Wipe. There was a Rossiot in the wings, there was a Yaogat MSV2 who ended up being impactful. So otherwise, like, still same Moracid stuff, right? Same Rodox, same Rindak, and all that. So, good game. You know, I think he was definitely suffering a little bit just because of the lack of orders that list had. He ended up having, like, a hidden deployment, Kunai Thunderbolt. Maybe it's Kunai, I don't know. Is that the one with the Thunderbolt, Jonah?
Yeah.
Or is it just...
Yeah, Ninja? It's Kunai.
Like, Kunai. He had, like, 2 drop troops and, like, another hidden deploy. So he didn't have quite enough gas to get a console turn 1. His Dragon Lord failed a bunch of rolls. And unfortunately, we both that his tactical support he pulled was auto-succeed on a Whipperl. And he didn't remember that until turn 3, was, like, tragic. So he was kind of on the back foot. I applied some stuff pretty well. Rindak got the jump on, like, Tawu ran up and was one of the Sunzays, I guess, or something. Prita was able to actually go and do some damage. I thought it was going to be really poor going first, going into this, though, because I was going second and I've got my Sogroth Fearbok up and his Longwing kills it in, like, 2 orders. And I'm like, this is how my whole weekend's going. Sogroth left and right. This is not it. This is not good. But ultimately, like, oh yeah. And then another piece of really bad luck. I had my Yaogat shoot at his Kunai through smoke, which should have gone really, really well for me. I had outranged him. I was through smoke. Nope. Get hit by the T2 Thunderbolt and just, like, get vaporized.
Oh, jeez. Like,
pretty much, like, if I could have died, I died. So I was actually spiraling a little bit at this point in the game. Didn't think I was really going to get where I needed to get to. But then I forgot just how good Rossiots are at this mission. So I was able to find, like, the 1 sliver of back edge for my Rossiot to get in. I was able to eclipse by the things I needed to eclipse by. And ultimately, I was able to smash all 3 servers for the full 10 objective points. So end round 4, go into lunch. Okay, I had a game where even though there was some misfortune, my pieces did what they needed to do. Enter round 5, superiority. And I'm once again matched up with my round 3 opponent from Thursday, Pink Ghost, Brian, who I had a tremendous, tremendous time with. And we end up on I have to give the team credit. Like, I know I said, like, the Thursday morning table was, like, pretty bad. They ended up, like, fixing that. And, like, most of the tables come Saturday and Sunday were, like, really, really good. I think the TOs took, like, an active interest in that and, like, made adjustments as the week went on. I think this round 5 table was probably still one of the weaker ones, but we were like, hell yeah, man, we're just going to, like, smash our biggest thing. So he ran double Wrecker, I ran double Sogorot, and we just went to town into this, like, central killing field. I was very lucky. Finally, I found, like, 5 games of luck all at once. My Sogorots were, like, critting Wreckers off the board in ARO. I ran a Kai Talk, like, basically to his deployment zone. Ended up, like, putting him in retreat and handily taking superiority, like, you know, 9-2 or, like, 10-2 or something. Super fun. Like, again, once again, we just, like, laughed the entire time, no matter what was going on. Down at Nova, they do this Spirit of Infinity voting situation where, and I think this is really cool. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to try to ape this in some way for our big event, where basically you rate your opponent at the end of the game just about how fun they were to play with on, like, a 1-5, right? So 3, pretty good game of Infinity like you'd normally have. One, I would prefer not to play with that person again. Five, I would play this person every week if I could. And Brian, who ended up playing round five, he ended up actually winning the thing, which I think was like super well deserved. He's like a fairly new player, started playing in the last year, jumped in both feet, has this really cool looking like Helldivers inspired torchlight, and just wants to get out there and like smash face and chuck some dice. So hugely, hugely deserved to him. He actually ended up, as a result of that, winning a fully painted Invincible Army. So I guess he's an IA player now. it was a great way to... Yeah, he's been converted to the dark side. But, you know, great way. Like, so all said, like two good games with like solid people. That might have been like the most fun of the weekend, was just like that last game with Brian. So I was feeling pretty good after five rounds. Ended up 2-3. Didn't quite go my way, but I ended up with like a super good impression of everybody and was super glad that I dove in.
Yeah, it was great.
Overall, very good experiences. I know that you guys had a bit of a different time going through the rounds, but every time I stopped by to see you guys were talking, chatting, everyone was enjoying themselves. Keith was handing out stickers.
Yeah. I was marketing aggressively.
So, I mean, from what I've seen for that big 2-day event, everything looked good there.
Yeah. And I got to call, I think one thing I don't want to gloss over. So final placings, yeah. I think Jonah ended up 21 out of 60. Yep. I ended up 41 out of 60. Hey. So we were firmly anchoring the middle third. Nice. And the back third. But Jonah left before they did announce one award. So there was a judged painting competition at lunch on Sunday where I don't know exactly who the judges were, but they pulled out some like non-Infinity people and Infinity people. And wouldn't you know it, Jonah, Mr. Sloppy Steak, won best painted out of the competition down in
Oregon. Hey, I did. Ooh. That was great. I didn't go in expecting anything. I was just excited to show off my fully painted Kestrel and get some eyes on it. So that was a nice surprise.
Now, do you have like a Instagram account or anything like that where you showcase your painted armies?
I don't. The only place I really post is our local Discord in the hobby channel. So.
So if anyone wants to see this award-winning army paint job, you should come to our local events.
Yes. Yeah, you'll see exactly. Them live and in person. It's the only way
you have to do it. It's
exactly,
good marketing
exactly,
that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of the privileges.
But no, he had basically, it was a tremendous flex, because I think at these events, like, you have a lot of people that just kind of, you know, they have the 15, 20 models painted. I think Jonah had the whole damn Kestrel range, like, all out, just, like, in this huge body of, like, 40 models, two tags, the red eye with, like, the beautiful non-metallic metal all on the rotors and stuff like that.
Yeah. It was everything except for one of the Scarecrows and one of the Magistrates. But it's all done.
Yeah. Yes, I had to accept his reward on his behalf, but very proud that we were able to bring that one back to New England. So.
All right, and then to round out the events for Infinity, we had their narrative event that they run on Saturday night after the Q&A with Gutier.
Oh, which was super awesome.
Well, being able to go and ask the guy who is writing a bunch of the lore and like not a PR person, so he can answer questions any way he wants, technically.
Yeah, it felt very unfiltered compared to some of the stuff that you see at like Adepticon, Gen Con, and the Krug and stuff like that. And we went around the world, right? They talked about like the relationship with like the Sciocast material and company, which I thought was like kind of refreshing for that transparency. They talked about like the blowback of like the army cancellation and the backpedal, a lot of really cool insight into like the design and play testing of Next Wave. Like it was super rich. I expected kind of a rehash of like the stuff Bostry has been sharing, but it really felt like a kind of a totally different perspective.
It was super good that it wasn't just a rehash of what happened at Gen Con or the Krug. We got new information in the sense that we were able to get like his opinion on things. And then Keith also got to ask him a question, in which case I'll let Keith say it.
Yeah, just I'll leave it at Gutierre likes the idea of the Plasma Spitfire, and I'm hoping that it makes its way into a future Next Wave release. He indicated that was something he's favorable towards.
For a certain person?
Achilles, specifically.
Please kill me.
Oh no.
And one other thing too, if you're on the fence about Noah, and I've told a couple of people this that have been stoked about it. So what folks will do, because it seems like he's there every year and you know, yep, he's a big part of like, you know, what Mike's gonna talk about, is being like the lore guy. If you want to get some like cool lore memorabilia, what people will do is they will leave their lore book, right? Whether it's your N4 book or like your first offensive or whatever it is you have, which is like a sticky note about like who you are and like what interests you. He will, you know, at some point over the weekend, get in there and like write a passage about like whatever faction or piece of lore or unit you think is cool. So people, you know, will make sure that they, you know, get that in there, get it in the stack. And then they get to walk home with like a truly like kind of like one of a kind little slice of infinity. So I think that's really cool. If you're a lore head or, you know, like some of your old books or want to get a new book, I regret not having something on hand to submit for that, because I think that's a really cool, unique
thing. Yeah. I'm in the same boat. I was able to talk to him. The person that was running, I think he was running the 40K event this year, Michael Sibilia, was like, hey, Gutierrez over there, you should go talk to him. And I was just like a nervous schoolgirl talking to like a boy band member, just going over there being like, hi, I'm a big, big fan of your work type of thing. But he's so down to earth friendly. Like, we had a pretty long conversation and it was just reassuring that like all these people we see from Corvus Belli Studios, it's not like a glamour type of thing. They're just like, yeah, no, this is super. Where is I going with this? They're
nerds too.
They're super chill nerds. They're very approachable and you should feel very comfortable approaching them because they want to talk to us. They want to hear from us. I told him that I was a war core, and he's like, I need a list of all the new war cores. I've been asking Coney for a while because I'm trying to memorize the names.
That's great. Another community.
I'm going to go from that really sporadic point into the Nerve event. After the Q&A with Gutierrez, we made our way back down to the room that the tournament was happening in.
Now, Mike, would it be safe to say that this event happens after dark?
It does.
Because it's Infinity After Dark and not actually the narrative?
Yeah. We'll call it Infinity After Dark.
That's what it is in the program.
I see what you're trying to say here.
You got this. Fine. You got this.
So, all right, back to what I was doing. So we show up there, doors are shut, there's a line of people right outside. We're all just like, I guess we're gonna wait until they start the Nerve event. And then you just see two people walk out, sunglasses, going, anyone signed up for this event, line up. And they just walk down the line with little, like, hello, my name is stickers, just putting it right on your chest and just says, my name is Gutierrez. So going to the event, all of us just had these hello, my name is Gutierrez stickers on. And we're told, head in one at a time. You just walk in. It's like the Matrix with Mr. Anderson type of thing. Every single one of them is just arms crossed. They're wearing black sunglasses. And as you walk by, every single one will go, Gutierrez. No other interaction besides that for the first little bit.
It was slightly intimidating. I was outside kind of watching this all shape up. It was a little intimidating. Like, there's guys in sunglasses just yelling at you. Just kidding.
Sounds wild.
At this point, I was like, oh, this is like a fun little thing lead up to like some random thing we're going to be using a bunch of models to interact. Nope. It was like a mini LARP. So you were just role playing as Gutierrez and you were going through these modules to build up your character to make him stronger to fight. And it was kind of like a little mini casino in a way, because there was a bunch of different stations. One station you were doing like Squid Game events, and if you lost, then you'd have to you'd basically have to pay them something to keep going. There was another one where you had to do physical forms to get character stat boosts. So there was a little Nerf gun shooting through rings, and the rings got smaller, and those would give you ballistic skill stats. I think I was doing push-ups with someone to get physical stats, and then there was another one for close combat where it was
stabbing somebody.
It was two balloons on like two wooden knights. Like one had one side had a shield, the other side had like a little pin at the end of a wooden stick. And you controlled the two arms, and you're trying to pop your opponent's balloon.
Like a joust-a-moust-a-moust.
Yeah, a little joust-a-mouse. So there's a bunch of different modules. There's puzzles as well. And we're just going around. We're interacting. Random times they'd come over. They'd give you like a mystery shot, and it would give you like a special benefit. There was a little prize pool in the front where it was a bunch of like candy or wacky little toys, but they would correspond to like a Flammenspear or the hacking skill. So you didn't really know what was going on kind of as you're going through this whole thing. And it was really fun. The final battle, we found out that half the people that were there were actually evil Gutiers, and they were under the control of Corporate Gutier, which was Gutier with a facial beard on.
Of course.
You're kind of like the architect from The Matrix.
Yeah. And then the good Gutiers had Jay from Arsenal leading them, and they were trying to take down evil Gutier and his posse.
Yeah, Jay from Arsenal in like a black trench coat with like the Morpheus glasses, but still in his Florida flip-flops.
Yeah, and shorts.
Of course.
You can't take that. It's iconic for him.
So.
Yeah, he looked like a Corporate Gutier. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, awesome. I was on that side. It was great.
Oh, that's why. That's why they won.
But what was the battle?
We all put our characters back on the two boards and one Komachi board.
Uh-huh.
It was basically a 20v20 of chaos where one person would be like, I'm going to move this. And then you had like four people going, I'm AROing. But at the same time, there was other people just going, there was no turn order or anything. It was just have at it.
Move, shoot, move, shoot, move, shoot.
Okay.
And it was just all this character stats or random things that we got while playing.
Mm-hmm.
While doing the modules, our characters had, like, there was one Gutier that had, like three Pupniks with it.
Oh, God.
And, like...
It's a good thing people got Flammenspheres.
Yeah. I had an Utnik, and I was just kind of just hanging back, just trying to snipe anything coming towards Gutier Prime.
So funny.
I didn't really do much.
So funny.
But it was really cool. We all got a cool Gutier model that we painted up.
In a frantic, like, speed paint situation. So I, as an observer, wasn't let in until they were, like, a little bit underway. So I walk in, and A, I can smell alcohol, and I see all these little plastic shot glasses. And then I see everyone's got a miniature, and they're painting for their life.
That's so funny.
Because you had a timed speed paint, right, Mike?
Yeah, they gave us, like, 10 minutes at most to
paint. Yeah, like, paint the model. So everyone's, like, laser.
We all had to share all of our paint.
Nice.
And if you were kind of at the end of the line getting your model, you probably had like 4 minutes to paint.
Who got to drink the paint water?
Charlie.
Probably Charlie.
So funny.
It was a good time, Mike. You say it's worth doing?
Oh, definitely. So it was their first year taking the reins from the old crew that were ran Infinity After Dark. So they were doing stuff a little bit different, and the theme changes, the storyline changes each year.
I guess last year was like a Mario Kart situation.
Yep. And you had Gutier as Bowser that was throwing stuff and tried to knock over the little rally cars that everyone had to make.
Yeah, so it changes wildly every year.
Yep.
And what I thought was really interesting observing it too is at least a third of the people in the room were not playing any Infinity the rest of the weekend. So I definitely saw like some familiar faces. I saw a ton of people like that had their kids, or like it was a player and their dad, a couple people that like maybe were coming from other systems. So this seems to be known as like a cool thing to do on your Saturday night that is not like necessarily an Infinity thing. I thought it was really interesting that such a high proportion were not people playing the system elsewise that weekend.
Yeah, I've always heard talkings of it in the past about like Infinity After Dark at Nova. It's like, it's such a big thing, and it's grown past the Infinity community to really just engulf into a really fun event that anyone that signs up for it, you don't even have to know too much about Infinity in a sense.
Doesn't seem like you needed to know anything.
Yeah, truly.
I think I saw like five people download the Infinity Army app so they could have their Gutier stats, because we're technically spec ops.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, there's a lot more to it. I can't remember all of it because I had to take a bunch of elixirs to save my life.
And it was like midnight.
So yeah, if you're don't drive to Infinity After Dark.
Yeah, yeah, because it goes from like 9 to 12. I watched the first hour and then I went to bed, and this thing went on
hours. So there was a mechanic that you had to drink elixirs to stay in the game.
You didn't have to. At no point did they
force
you to drink.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But there were things where they offered, "Would you like to take this drink? It would like you're able to do a reroll once."
Oh, okay.
Take this drink, you're able to like grab something from up at like the little prize pool up there.
Sounds like chaos.
Yeah, if you're willing to, if you're participating in the 2-day tournament, but still really want like some fun after day one, I'd suggest going to that, even though you're going to be stupid tired for next two events. Or if you don't know Infinity at all, but you really want to do some like wacky fun thing and walk away with a cool model, go to Infinity After Dark.
Yeah, I think there's no downside to it. Walk away with something, have a ton of fun. You're going to have experience something that is hard to describe. Like, I was walking out of there. I'm like, I don't even know exactly what I just witnessed. Wasn't even participating.
Yeah, there's a lot more I didn't add because you can't explain it. I just tried to do what I could summary-wise.
Yeah, I would have done it, but at this point, I think I'm too old to be doing an event till midnight and then getting up to play Infinity again at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Nah, we can train for that.
All right. Perfect. You going to come over and pour me some elixirs?
Yeah, we got this. Yeah. All right. So I think we did it, guys. I think we talked about Nova and the events going on there. Before we do our closing remarks and all that, I'd like to give Keith an opportunity to talk about this really cool thing that happened in Boston.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're listening this far, it's because you like Infinity, you like Infinity events, and you like big Infinity satellite events. What if I told you there was one more on the East Coast that is worth your time? I have the pleasure of taking over from Derek the Beantown Beatdown. This is going to be the fourth year of the Beatdown. It takes place at the Everwinter Gaming Convention, which is run by Wicked Dicey. It's kind of like a mini Nova in that there's a ton of like tournaments and narratives and con-wide painting competition and the like. But it's going to be the weekend of December 6th and 7th this year. We are a satellite for the fourth year in a row. We're going to be playing 5 rounds of Infinity, and it's always just a great time. We anticipate being well over 30 people this year. We've been very lucky to get people from all over, right? We get some folks from Mid-Atlantic. Bruno won it last year. You know, folks from California, Florida, Midwest, as well as all of the lovely people up here in New England. It's at the Hyatt Regency downtown Boston. It's walking distance from South Station, which is where like the Amtrak would get you in, and it's easy by public transit or cab from the airport. So again, that's December 6th and 7th. We're also doing a Friday night Beerfinity the night before as well, which Mike's going to be running.
Yeah.
Always a super fun time. So we hope you can make it. If you'd like to buy a ticket, you can go to wickeddicey.com. Wicked Dicey are the folks that run the overall Everwinter Gaming Convention. Navigate to the Everwinter event and get your Infinity a ticket there. And you can use code SUMMER10 at checkout to get 10% off of your ticket. That's code SUMMER10. Beantown Beatdown at the Everwinter Gaming Convention, December 6th and 7th. Tickets available at wickeddicey.com.
For those that are interested in Beerfinity but don't drink, you do not have to drink to play in Beerfinity. It's a very much...
There are plenty of people who will drink for you.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, you don't have to drink anything at all, really. It's just a little supplement add to it. I should what?
You should hydrate, though, at a minimum.
Oh, yeah, hydration is key. Well, let me do my little closing remarks here. So we did it, guys. We talked about Nova. It was really fantastic having both of you on here talking about that event. I think between all three of us, we got a pretty good first-time experience of Infinity at the Nova convention. Everyone else, hear me out. Lean a little closer to me. I would really love some 5-star reviews for this podcast if you can. The more you guys review, the more other people will get suggested this podcast, the better I'll feel knowing that I have a 5-star review podcast episode.
He needs this. He needs this real bad.
It's all I got going for me. But it helps us at Professional Casual and specifically us Arachne get more views when people are looking up miniature game podcasts. But other than that, you guys can always reach out to me on Discord at Inventor of Soup or through email at inventorofsoup@gmail.com. Where can they find you, Jonah, if you want to be found?
Yeah, you can find me on Discord. I'm in the main Infinity Discord as well as the New England Super Duper Meta Sunday Night Gaming as Sloppy Steak. And yeah, that's where you get to see some of my paintings sometimes.
Ooh, and what about you, Keith? Where can they find you?
Yeah, on Discord, I'm Keith, K33F. Yeah, and you'll find me just spending way too much time in the big Infinity Discord and trying to lie to people about the coming release.
Yeah, that's perfect. Like the Achilles with the plasma Spitfire.
It's coming, buddy. It's coming. Guys, tell us good cheer.
We would like to also thank everyone in the background to help keep this podcast running. Kara, Dr. D, and even Tim for running the network. Thank you for listening, Nomads. Make sure you keep it popping out there and don't let Aleph get you. Taking it to the streets. Fast dice, fast talk, you can't
mystical. Infinity's wild, unpredictable. The rhythm's unstoppable.